afraid. This rover.
Thank God it's Friday!
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Time of year to play it, Max.
I know I keep you amused.
Once a year, for about 2 weeks, people around the world will sing Maggie May. It's usually about the middle to the end of September.
Why is that?
Because it's late September, and he should get out of bed, leave his 35-year-old married girlfriend behind, and get back to classes.
Aha.
Which is, I think, what that story's about. Hi, everybody. I'm Scott Sherman. In for Frank, but also in for Paul Harris, who normally does the Friday business on the large morning show in the afternoon.
I'm confused. Are we filling in for Frank Opinion, or are we filling in for Paul Harris?
Paul Harris.
Okay.
Because Frank is on assignment. Paul apparently is on assignment, and I'm proud to be in. That's the voice of Max Foisy.
Hi, everybody.
You may know him as the producer of the Martin Kilcoin show on the
didn't
Big 550.
Didn't I already work today, Scott?
People don't listen to that show.
Okay, okay. Hey, now, that's my show.
Okay, how about this? Not a lot of people listen to that show. Certainly not as many people as listen to this show. I'm here on Thursday at 4 o'clock, and I'm always honored to be a part of the Large Morning Show. Also, Dan and Ian are not here, so you're in for Ian.
I will be Ian Geist today, yes.
I'm in for Paul.
Later, we have somebody in for Dan.
And someone is going to fill in for Dan. Should we reveal that? Let's wait, because he might not make it.
Is it actually Dan? Is he coming back?
No. Reason that the Large Morning Show folks are not in today is a great cause, the first annual KTRS golf outing to benefit Backstoppers, one of the great organizations in this or any town. Founded in 1959, it's helped hundreds of families of first responders, police officers, firefighters who are in financial need when their loved one is injured or worse in the line of duty. And it's something that is near and dear to everyone's heart, particular Frank and the station. And they're out at Normandy.
They're out at Normandy Golf Course. That's why. That's where we all were this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day for a golf outing, and Frank could not have been happier. I don't think I've ever seen Frank happier than he was today because everybody showed up. They're going to be able to cut a very nice check to Backstoppers. Again, after the last couple of rainy Fridays we've had, it just seemed like the weather was cooperating today, and everybody came out ready to play. And, yeah, they even have some ball spotters out there for Dan and Ian because I don't think they could find their balls. So,
well,
they have some ball spotters.
That's what happens when you get to middle age. Pouch gets a little big there, and you might need a little help. Might need a mirror. Is that what you're talking about?
I was talking golf, but you're sure.
It's Max.
It's
working,
a family show.
Working blue.
It's a family show.
3:15. Thanks to everybody who donated. Who encouraged others to donate and participated today. When you said we, I didn't go, but you did.
Yeah, I was out there, and again, a glorious day for it, and it was great to see everybody show up ready to give to Backstoppers and ready to play a round of golf. Even McGraw showed up, the morning show guy here, McGraw Millhaven, he showed up. He wasn't golfing today, but he did show up to ride around on the golf cart.
He's the program director.
So, directing the program. That's what I hear.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Everybody was in good spirits, and thanks to everybody that participated in this. And it's the first annual, so it sounds like maybe do this again.
I think it's a bit of a, isn't it sort of a jinx to call something the first annual? Because you haven't, I mean, can something be the first annual when you don't know if it's going to happen more than once? I mean, I guess what this means is we're planning on a second annual next year.
So, good point.
Yeah.
But looks like it all went well. I'm honored to be here behind the microphone until 6 o'clock. Glad to be working with Max. I've worked on a show you might... You probably know about it. It's the Martin Kilcoin Show.
It's the Martin Kilcoin Show.
We've 10 to
done a
noon.
Couple of those now.
We have.
Yeah, we're doing a couple more, I think.
And I'm very happy that we have the time together today. Normally, on Thursday, I'm honored to be in this studio and take legal questions. We're not going to do that today. We are going to take phone calls in hour number two because we think that topic in particular that we'll discuss is one that is really geared towards phone calls. And I have a sense that you folks out there have been wanting to sort of vent your spleen about it. And I'm happy to talk to you about it in hour number two. We will talk about Colin Kaepernick, the football player, and his protest against the national anthem. Don't call yet. But be forewarned, that's going to be the topic in hour number two.
Set the alarm on your phone for about 45 minutes from now, and then call us then.
Yeah, we will be happy to take your calls. In hour number one, we're not going to do politics. We're going to do current events. And I think that this is a good opportunity with what has transpired this last week in Charlotte, the news coming out of Tulsa, and just this issue of protesters or rioters, or a little bit of both, about what are the rules, the legal rules about free speech, about protesting. Also, the rules about police use of force. I happen to believe that we should not just be training and educating first responder police officers about use of force or about police ability to use deadly force, but we really need to be educating the citizenry. Because if you're playing a game of golf, as I guess Max was doing today or the folks were doing today, if you got a guy that just hits the ball into the woods, McGraw, and he walks over and just kicks it out of the woods back into the fairway and said, I'm laying one, that can be annoying for a person that is playing golf by the rules. Or someone in tennis and they hit it in and they say it's out, or they have no idea. And they just are trying to smash it out of the ballpark.
You have to be on the same page.
Everybody has to be on the same page. So what we'll do a little bit later in this hour is sort of walk through some of the rules on the use of deadly force. I think it's important. I think that we have seen as recently as that Michael Brown case that even in Missouri they had the wrong statute on the books for 30 years. And I think that it's never a bad time or opportunity to walk through the rules so that we can learn a little bit, and for those of us that know, reinforce it and get it fresh. And maybe we can then take some of those rules, take some of those lessons, and pass them along to hopefully a good portion of the community that then would understand them, and maybe we can change behavior. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Also, Max, do you get email?
I get a lot of email.
I get a lot, too. You get spam.
I get a lot of spam.
How often do you look at your spam?
Spam, spam, spam. You know, I would say about once a month I check it just to make sure there's not something from Scott Sherman in there that I'm like, why is that in spam? And then I have to move it.
Because it has my name attached to it. I was checking my spam the other day, and I got a lot of very interesting offers, inquiries, and a lot of correspondence from folks that I didn't even know that I knew.
You correspond a lot with Nigeria. I know that.
There's
different princes that you speak to. I know.
I have a lot of people that are high up in the governments of West Africa that are very close. I'm very close.
There are certain pills that you have to get refills on. I know that. So
we will delve into our spam. What's in our spam? And we'll read you some of the correspondence. I think you might find it interesting. You also might find it sort of familiar because you might be getting the same stuff. We'll walk you through what's on our spam. Hour three, Max, Colin's not here. Colin is on vacation somewhere.
Yeah, he's down at Disney.
Oh, he's at Disney.
He took his family to Disney.
What a sweet guy.
I think it was more for him than his family.
Yeah, the 40-year-old guy was a little too excited about this. We're going to meet Cinderella. You're not going to believe it.
Rapunzel's going to be there.
You can't believe that all seven dwarves will be there. That's Colin. He's here on Friday and on Tuesday talking about movies on Friday and entertainment releases on Tuesday. Well, yeah, Max is going to replace him because he's better at it. Aww. Max Foyzy is a real live movie guy. Max on movies.
I like Colin. Colin's good. Colin's awesome. But today we're going to talk about The Magnificent Seven, and we can talk about some other movies, too.
And we'll make fun of some celebrities. We'll do that in hour three with our the Dan fill-in person. So I think what we should do is jump right in here and talk about some of these protests, Max, because I was watching the other night in, I guess, both amazement and horror, as a group of individuals, most of whom were young gentlemen between about 17 and 25, throwing concrete slabs through windows of people's businesses, busting out car windows, pushing reporters down. I don't even care about that much. But beating up people, throwing tear gas at the police, mayhem was breaking loose. And I know that these two cases, the Keith Lamont Scott case in Charlotte, and the Terrence Crutcher case in Tulsa, have a lot of emotion attached to it. We, being St. Louisans, or as people from other parts of the country and world call us, Ferguson, have seen and experienced a lot of disruption and a lot of anger about the interaction between certain segments of society and the police. On a day where we're honoring backstoppers, I don't want to get into those cases really too much. I want to talk about free speech. I want to talk about protesters. And I want to talk about, first, the law. And I also want to talk about effectiveness. It is against the law, and it is not free speech. It is a crime to loot, to burn people's businesses and cars, that is arson, to burglarize their houses, their businesses, to throw bricks and rocks and concrete through windows and at police officers or other people, and to assault and punch other folks or shoot them as they did in Charlotte and kill a guy. That would be murder.
You mean that's not free speech?
That's not free speech. That's not protected speech. That is criminal behavior. And if folks who have a legitimate beef or have an issue that is legitimate, and I think that the discussion about the interaction between police and the community, or every community, that is one of the most important topics of conversation that needs to be had. Not only is it ineffective, it is illegal to conduct yourself in that manner. It's not speech. So for folks that have the bullhorn, for folks that have the sign, for people that are yelling, for people that are silently protesting, whether you're going back to the days of the March on Washington or Selma, the effectiveness of the clothing people are wearing or the way in which they're speaking, that's something that's up to the listener to decide. But from a First Amendment point of view, that which protects you from government action, from being prosecuted or arrested or threatened by exercising your free speech rights, number one, those lunatics, those criminals that were participating in the mayhem in Charlotte late Wednesday night and into Thursday morning, that ain't free speech. But for the other people that either were there earlier or seems as though last night have come to the fore, their speech may not be the most persuasive, either for listeners of this station or for the general public. The manner in which they're presenting their argument may not be the best way to express that. But it seems as though last night in particular, the First Amendment prevailed, that it's protected so that people can interact in the marketplace of ideas, as Thomas Jefferson talked about way long ago. That's important. That's an important change. If you pick up a brick and you hit someone with it or you break a window, not only are you losing an audience that may be interested in what you had to say if you had to say it, but you're subject to and should be arrested, prosecuted, and jailed, quite frankly, if you're convicted. But to the people in Charlotte and some of the folks that have seemed as though they've grabbed the reins of what were some wild horses the first night, I applaud them, if not in the persuasion of their speech, but at least in the, how do we say, momentum back towards protected speech. There's always obnoxious speech. You go back to a case called Brandenburg versus Ohio. This was a neo-Nazi Klansman guy that was one of the most horrible people you could ever imagine saying the most horrible things you could ever imagine. And he said it at a public speech, and he was prosecuted in Ohio. Well, your instinct is, okay, great. Do that to him. Do that to Fred Phelps when he's at the funeral of one of our fallen military folks. You can do that all over the place. How about the flag-burning guy back in the 1980s, Johnson, when he was burning the American flag? But in three really important cases, starting with Brandenburg in 1969, going to Johnson versus Texas in 1989, and then as recently as 2011, Snyder versus Phelps, the United States Supreme Court, sometimes very split, 5-4 in both the Phelps and the Brandenburg and the flag burning case, and Justice Scalia was on the side of protecting the free speech. Obnoxious speech is to be protected. Memo to folks that are protesting in Charlotte. I don't know that they care what I have to say. Congratulations on wrestling free speech away from anarchy. From it being sort of this Lord of the Flies society where they just have the conch and they're running loose and it's a mayhem. That's to be congratulated. But some of us are listening to what you have to say. You don't have to shout it or use four-letter words. So congratulations for them on speech. But obnoxious speech may be protected. It's not necessarily persuasive. And when I start hearing less obnoxious voices, I think all of us will agree that not only is that to be protected, but it also will be listened to. Take ourselves a break. Max, are you still awake? I almost put him to sleep.
I'm listening.
He's crying.
Yeah, well, it was such an impactful statement. I had to take a step back.
Thanks. All right, let's walk through the rules of police use of force when we come back. More of the Large Morning Show on the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.
Got delays this Friday afternoon. Southbound 170, your stop and go from north of Olive down through Highway 64. Earlier incident was south of Galleria Parkway. Westbound Highway 64, here on the brakes now in the normal spot between Kings Highway and McCausland. Eastbound Highway 70, slow going now between Lindbergh and the new roadwork at 170. Eastbound Highway 64, similar story. Delays from Timberlake Manor up through Mason. Roadwork involved there as well. This update brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices every day on the office items you use most, and now is a great time to stock up and save with a Buy More, Save More event happening in stores. Staples, make more happen. Frank Ladd with KTRS Vincent Mortgage Traffic.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 225095.
The Financial Symphony is a show that blends the worlds of music and finance together in one harmonious package. It features your local financial maestro, Jerry Means.
A lot of advisors out there are mainly giving accumulation advice or looking at the growth through your working years. You really need to take a look at, is your advisor giving you advice on preservation and distribution?
That's The Financial Symphony with Jerry Means every Sunday morning at 10 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hey, guess what? It's starting to cool down. It's a good time to put some sizzle in your life with a new grill from Suburban Leisure Center. Your grill headquarters. Suburban Leisure Center has the Signature Series top-of-the-line Vision grills. You can grill traditionally with charcoal, or if you're in a hurry, you can use propane. It's like having two grills in one. Suburban Leisure Center also has Green Mountain Pellet Grills. It just makes sense to use a computer-controlled barbecue. Green Mountain Pellet Grills give you a constant temperature, whatever you set, from 150 degrees to 500 degrees. An essential secret to any culinary success. Set it and forget it. Now you can turn pro in your own backyard. But that's not all. Suburban Leisure Center also has grills from Broil King and MHP. Now that it's becoming more comfortable outside, fire it up with a new grill from Suburban Leisure Center, your grill headquarters, on Olive, just a mile west of 141. Online at suburbanleisurecenter.com.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
we started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100 plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I like them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100 plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/work. That's ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter.com/work.
Never paint again. Seriously, who wants to paint anyways? Rhino Shield would love to paint your home, business, or church for the last time. You know, when it's not raining. Water and sun are the two most damaging villains against your home's defense for chipping, cracking, peeling, and rot. Our permanent ceramic coating locks out 100% of the moisture, 90% of the sun's UV rays, and we back it up with a 25-year transferable warranty. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. See why we are rapidly becoming your neighbor's go-to solution for cracks, splits, nail pops, and just bad color schemes. Now's the time to be smart to save time and money. Call 877-25-RHINO, 877-25-RHINO, or 877-25-RHINO.com. See what we did there? Genius.
Ah, the sounds of silence. The kids are back to school, and now you can focus on your home appliances. Whether you're looking for a dependable front load or a top load high efficiency washer and dryer set to clean those filthy soccer uniforms, Appliance Discounters is a place to go for Samsung laundry sets. Or you may be in the market for cooking appliances or a refrigerator. Whatever it may be, when it comes to Appliance Discounters, we have you covered with 6 locations and Samsung kitchen packages at the lowest price, along with huge rebates. Visit us in store or at theappliancediscounters.com.
This is Larry Connors, and I think I drove by your house the other day. It looks great, but I noticed you might have some shingles missing and maybe some other roof damage. Take a moment to call my friend John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Take care of it before everyone else starts calling, before the thunderstorms start pounding us. That way, next time I drive by, I won't have to worry. I'll know your home is protected. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The Scottish are coming. The 2016 Scottish Games are Friday and Saturday, September 23 and 24 in Chesterfield. Scottish heavy athletics, including the iconic Cabotos, more bagpipers than you can shake a claymore at, 2 Friday concerts, Birds of Prey, Scottish and American food, Scottish ale, Scottish folk and rock music all day Saturday, Scottish dancing, sword fighting, lots of lads in kilts, and much more. Visit stlewis-scottishgames.com for more information.
Scott Sherman in for Paul Harris on Frank's Assignment Day. Max Foisy in for Eon, the peon, because the Large Morning Show gang is all at the first annual KTRS Backstoppers golf outing, and it's a beautiful day and a great cause. All right, Max, I'm going to stay away from talking about the specific cases that are in the news. The Mr. Scott and the Mr. Crutcher cases. But they're in the news. So we'll tangentially jump off of those and use them as a jumping off point to discuss what I think is a really important topic out there in the world. And that is something that very few people know about, including the members of the Missouri legislature, apparently, until 2014. And that is police use of force. Now, there's a thing called the Force Continuum, which I believe is the 4th or 5th Star Wars movie.
I was going to make that same joke, but with Star Trek. You beat me to it.
You're the movie
guy.
Why
else am I here if I can't make the bad jokes?
You can have the rest of them.
Well, that sounds like the 4th Star Trek movie. See, that would have been good.
As things progress between an encounter between a law enforcement officer and a civilian, a person. They get to the far end of the spectrum, and that is the use of deadly force. Obviously, the use of deadly force means what it means. Force that can kill. Doesn't have to. Look at the guy with the pressure cooker bomb in New York. He's still alive. Or New Jersey or whatever. One of the Tsarnaev brothers. He's still alive. These guys aren't. If you use deadly force, and that would be a firearm, you can kill people even if you shoot them in the leg or in the arm. It's not the movies. Right, Max?
That is correct.
When can police use deadly force? It was a debate for a long time, and until 1985, nobody really knew. Most states had rules on the books, including Missouri, which had them until, I think, this year, that said that a police officer could shoot a fleeing felon. So if somebody had a bag full of diamonds and they were running away, or a television set that was worth more than $500, stop. No. Bang. Dead. Okay. Along came a case called Tennessee versus Garner, which was almost just like that. This young man, kid, 16, he was burglarizing his neighbor's houses. That happens. It happened to me. Not in 1985, but in 2014.
You robbed somebody's house?
No comment. Somebody robbed mine. And they stole a television set. And I wanted to shoot him, but I wasn't home. But in Tennessee versus Garner, this kid, this would-be burglar, was identified. He was running away from a house. Police officer said, stop or I'll shoot. He didn't stop. He ran to a chain link fence. It's like Starsky and Hutch. They would run to a chain link fence and they'd
you would always see that.
Jump up there and then
freeze.
Starsky would usually grab him and throw him on the El Camino. And then that were the Gran Torino or whatever vehicle they were in.
I was more of a Miami Vice guy.
Okay.
Crockett would always say, freeze, pal. He'd always throw the pal in there.
Yeah, sucker. That was Tubbs would say that. And then they throw him on the hood of the car and take him off to jail. Well, this police officer, under the law in the state of Tennessee, they're a state, right? Not a commonwealth. It's Virginia. State of Tennessee, and killed the kid. And there was a lawsuit. And ultimately, it went to the United States Supreme Court. And this one was 9-0. This was unanimous. The court said, no. You know that rule about fleeing felons? You can't do that anymore. We have a new rule. And they were like, what? I'm like, yeah, we got a new rule. Here's the new rule. The police can only use deadly force. That would be shooting someone. Where there's probable cause to believe that that person is a threat of serious harm to the officers or others. I'm like, what about fleeing felon? Nah, can't do that one anymore. Missouri, in case you guys were missing it, for 30 years did not change the law on the books. So I hope that the police have been getting the right instruction, but the law on the books had been wrong until they just changed it. Way to go, Missouri legislature. But it was an important change, and the change was, okay, you can't just shoot somebody who's fleeing, even though that's a bad thing to do. You gotta make sure that that person is a threat to the public or a threat to the officer. Pointing a gun, waving a gun, having a gun in the vicinity of a law enforcement officer that tells you to stop, that definitely would be probable cause to believe they could be seriously hurting someone.
Yeah, if you're running into a park and you have a weapon and the cop tells you to stop and you don't, you could hurt somebody else in that park. So you would be a threat.
You would be subject to deadly force. Point a gun at a cop, you're getting shot. I don't know too many people that would disagree with that because of that standard. Now, Tennessee versus Garner is the general rule, and it's 31 years old. And it makes me feel old because I was in high school then. I'm getting old. As time went on, they needed to flesh this out a little bit. 4 years later, along came a case called Graham versus Connor, where a guy went into, I don't know, a 7-Eleven or something because he was having a diabetic attack, and he walked out with an orange juice he didn't pay for. He probably should have just drank it right there, but he walked outside. He wasn't shot, but the question was, how much force can this police officer use, and what's the standard? The standard is objective police officer by not looking back in time, but under the circumstances. Things change, you know. Police always talk about, and legitimately and rightfully so, the decision-making in the snap of an eye, and not hindsight 20/20 vision. It's like being, I don't know, a hockey player in the Stanley Cup final, you got to decide right now what
Except
to do.
It's life and death, and that's not an excuse to make a bad choice.
That's right.
Just because it takes you 1/10 of a second doesn't mean you are excused if you do the wrong thing.
That's where training comes in. Like for military folks, everything's life and death. And the more you train the proper way, the better reactionary decision that you can make reflexively that is the best choice under the circumstances. And hopefully these departments do that. Some departments don't. There are departments in this community that shouldn't have police officers. Not because they're bad people, but because these places don't have any business having cops and they don't train them right. So you're only as good as your training. Uniform doesn't make the person into a great police officer. The great police officer makes that uniform what I hope all of us look at, and that is something that we respect. These rules are not for the compliant, they're for the non-compliant, because if somebody complies, they're normally not getting shot. So then the question is, well, what if they're in a car? Then what? Let's say, okay, they're running and they're unarmed. You know, Tennessee versus Garner. They're armed. Pretty clear case. But what about a car? The cop doesn't know if the person in the car is dangerous. Cop doesn't know if the person in the car has a weapon.
Well, the car itself can be a weapon.
That's exactly right. Like on Knight Rider, where Kit was a weapon.
I wasn't thinking of sending a car, but okay.
What kind of car was that? Trans Am.
Yes.
All right. 84126 in the text, if that's wrong.
I think it was a Trans Am, I believe.
Yeah, it might be. It was also the voice of the guy who was on St. Elsewhere, played Dr. Mark Craig. He was also, what's-his-name's dad in The Graduate.
Do you remember the evil Kit?
No, was that a...
The evil Kit for a while, because there was an evil Michael E. Knight as well, right? But then there was also an evil Kit that was codenamed Carr, K-A-R-R.
It's like a Superman thing.
Right.
William Daniels was the voice of Kit. He was, that's true. All right, so there were three high-speed chase cases, and these are important because one of them just happened in November. It was Justice Scalia's last case that he gave an opinion on. In the high-speed chase cases, when you see the helicopters, mainly in California, following these cars on the high-speed chase, maybe even OJ, even those low-speed, and they're zooming around, if a reasonable police officer thinks that that is a danger to the officers or to the public, that is actionable for deadly force. That case came about. That was Scott versus Harris in 2007. Then there was one when a guy, they used tacks or they rammed the car and he was at a stop. He put it back into gear and was trying to, like, I don't know, demolition derby himself out and take off again. They shot and killed him, and the court said again, overwhelmingly, that was legitimate deadly force. That's Plumoff versus Ricard, 2014. And last November, this case called Mullinix. Now, this one's really interesting, 8-1. Guy's drunk. Cop wants to stop him. He takes off. The guy driving calls dispatch and says he has a gun and he's going to hurt the police. He's on a country road in Texas. There's not really anybody around. It's a real dirt road. It's isolated. They've got tack strips set up. This one highway patrol guy has his rifle, and he is ordered by his superior to not shoot. He shoots him anyway, trying to, quote, shoot out the radiator. I think I saw that on Knight Rider and on Starsky and Hutch. That didn't work. He shot him in the head and killed him. 8-1, the court said that was protected use of deadly force because it was apparent to a reasonable officer that that guy could have been a danger if somebody else was coming down the road at the same time. So police can use deadly force in a variety of different situations, whether it's someone with a gun or someone with a speeding car and a speeding chase going crazy through a neighborhood, as I have seen on TV in Cleveland, Ohio, and Chicago. This idea that the police can't use deadly force until someone shoots at them is wrong. So be known, folks that want to be belligerent or don't want to comply with these types of orders, that deadly force is endorsed by the United States Supreme Court in many instances, and the instances are very rare, where a fleeing felon, clearly unarmed, would then make it a violation of the Tennessee versus Garner. These rules are things, and these cases are things that citizens and activists and reformers should all read, learn, and educate people on, so that we as the citizenry and the police officers that serve our communities can all be on the same page and play by the same rules. You can't just kick the ball out of the woods back onto the fairway because you want a better lie. You could end up dead, and legitimately so, according to several cases by the United States Supreme Court, and it's not going to change anytime soon. So I hope that the folks that are protesting in Charlotte spend some time in their off hours reading these cases and telling folks there are things that can be done to prevent these kind of incidents, even though there are some bad apples that wear uniforms. That's the intention here, education. So that's where we're at right now. Those are the rules as they stand. And if you don't like what I said, read the cases. Right? We can all learn a little something for that. We're going to...
What was that hand gesture you just made?
We're going to Frank Vlad in the traffic.
It's a family show.
Frank Vlad in the traffic?
We do have Frank Vlad. Hang on. Let's hit a couple of buttons here.
All right. How's it going on the roads, Frank Vlad?
I thought you liked me. I kind of want to know what that hand gesture was. I mean,
Frank, I'm not sure what Scott was doing just now.
If you come to the studio, Max will show you.
All right. Well, in the past...
He's driving.
Not yet. Oh, driving. I understand.
Driving.
Clearly, it wasn't driving. Well, we've had some issues out there happen here in the past 10 minutes or so. Westbound on the Poplar Street Bridge, got an accident with injuries crossing into downtown St. Louis. It's essentially at the mid-span. You're only sneaking by. As I passed, it looked like in that left lane, the left two lanes may be open now, but you're backed up all the way to the merge with Highway 70 headed into downtown St. Louis. Eastbound on Highway 64, you're already on the brakes now near Grand up through the Poplar Street Bridge. Folks actually are slowing down on the Poplar to take a look at that westbound accident. Westbound 64, you're on the brakes. Kings Highway through McCausland. Still working with this incident. Southbound 170 at Highway 64. You're backed up to just south of Page now on southbound 170. You've got slow pockets headed northbound in that stretch as well. Eastbound on Highway 70, the road work at 170 causing delays. Back towards near 270 now, eastbound on Highway 70. Seeing folks bail out and take 270 northbound. It's already heavy between 370 and Lindbergh coming up and around the bend. Got a stall westbound Highway 70 on the right shoulder near the Blanchette Bridge. You have delays back towards 270. Southbound 270 already on the brakes. Now Dorset down through Highway 64. 64 eastbound, pockets of Valium near Clarkson. There was an incident reported there westbound, but you've got Valium coming out of the valley headed towards 141 and then again towards Mason Road eastbound on Highway 64. Westbound on Highway 44, heavy ramping onto southbound 270, then again headed towards 141. This update brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices every day on the office items you need most. Right now, it's a great time to stock up and save with the Buy More, Save More events happening in stores. Staples, make more happen. Frank Ladd with the KTRS Vinson Mortgage Traffic Center.
Hey, it's Randy Naughton for the Diamond Family. Have you heard they're moving to their new superstore? This is the moving sale you don't want to miss. Save up to 60% store-wide on thousands of fine jewelry pieces. All of it must go. They are selling this location to the bare walls, and that means incredible savings for you, 40 to 70%. And make sure you join us on Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. as KTRS will be broadcasting live. It is the Diamond Family Moving Sale. See you there.
A great moment in baseball presented by Byerly RV.
The year was 1990. The young right fielder played with the team for just 2 years. His fielding skills were exceptional. His passion for the game made him a clutch player. The game was on the line. Just put the ball into play, yelled the coach. As usual, he took the first pitch. Then the second. He cracked the third in the right center and it rolled. The batter sprinted around the bases. He crossed home plate at full speed. Ran through the crowd of cheering teammates. Jumped over the bench. and with watery eyes, the 9-year-old flew into his father's arms. Dad, Dad, a home run. My first home run.
For the rest of your life.
Bye, early trailer.
For the rest of your life.
Bye, early trailer.
Rediscover your family. Show them you care
for the rest of your life. You gotta be there.
Byerly, just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
Honey, did you grab your Lidocaine pain patch?
I think so.
Well, does it have 4% lidocaine?
Check.
8-hour relief.
Check.
Maximum strength adhesion.
Check.
Dry technology.
Check.
Is it water resistant?
Check.
Narcotic free.
Check.
And finally, American made?
Check. Don't be fooled by other lidocaine patches. Grab the relief you deserve the first time with Blue Emu's Lidocare. Available at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
It's G&W Meat and Bavarian Style Sausage Company. G&W processes each deer separately, so the venison you get back is from your deer. Trust the security leader for over 140 years to protect your home, family, and all you care about. ADT Security. It's more than a sign in your yard. It's a line in the sand. Visit ADT.com. KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 225095.
If ever I was in charge of a political campaign for someone running for president, or on the off chance that one of the two of us was nominated for something, I would suggest this be your campaign theme song.
Didn't Obama use this?
Did he?
At one of the conventions? I'm pretty sure that when Michelle came out, they played this back in 2008. I have vague memories of that.
How great is this song?
I was out there. I was at the convention.
You were?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Denver.
Congratulations.
Oh, it was a fun time.
Are you going to the debates?
I think I might be, yeah.
Wait a minute. You think you might be.
I was talking to Colin about it. I might piggyback with him.
Did you have to get a Secret Service clearance?
Well, he's got it. No, I don't think so.
No, you just walk in?
I was at the last one with Palin and who was that? Oh, of course, Biden. Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uncle Joe.
Shenanigans. All right, Scott Sherman back here filling in for Paul Harris on the Friday Large Morning Show. It's Mac Foisey over there for Eon the Peon.
You mentioned the text line, of course. 84126 is where people can text us, and you should, because it, quite frankly, gives us show topics and content.
Yes.
So please text us. Now, we have a couple here. We have the golf outing should not be first annual. It should be called inaugural.
That's true. Actually, world's smartest audience.
It's a great, great point, and frankly, I'm surprised he got through all the bells and whistles and checks and balances here at the station without somebody going, you know, we should call it inaugural.
No.
Also, somebody else says, miss having you on the air. Good to hear you today. Scott, I don't know if this means you or me.
That's for you. That was probably Martin.
I was already on with Martin.
It's Kim, Martin's wife. Happy birthday to her. It's just so her birthday.
Here is a text for you, Scott.
Uh-oh.
OMG.
Yes.
I'm getting a ticket.
Yes.
Or following too closely on the highway.
Okay, allegedly.
Then I got yelled at for not pulling over on the side of the highway.
Okay.
I waved at the cop to follow me and pulled off to the first exit into a parking lot. Now, I thought this was all hunky-dory. I thought you could do that.
Yes. If that person, in OMG, that this, I don't know, sounds like a chick.
You just wait a minute.
It just does. It does.
Because of the OMG.
If that's the St. Anne Police Department that did that, I will defend her for free. And I'm not kidding. And I'll do it at a reduced rate. We're not soliciting here, but call the station back and give us some details. Maybe we can help you out.
Right. Is it free or reduced rate? Because those are two different things.
If it's St. Anne, it's free.
Okay.
I don't like them.
84126, text us now.
Yes, absolutely. All right, just a couple of quick thoughts. First of all, when I was a kid and I was growing up in Detroit, the Police Athletic League, baseball and football, was wildly popular, and I think one of the best and most effective ways for folks in the community and police officers to interact with each other, with the families. I know they have one in St. Louis. I don't hear a lot about it. So if there is a police athletic league that is as effective as the one that I'm used to growing up with, that's a great thing. And if there are folks that it's not quite where it should be, that, I think, is a place to start by offering kids an opportunity, an option, besides just running around with each other and talking like it's the Lord of the Flies. I'll talk about that in a second. Get involved with that. Volunteer, donate money, whatever. But I always liked the Police Athletic League, and I thought that that was a really cool place for young kids to gather in the right way. There you go. Speaking of the Lord of the Flies, I read that book when I was in elementary school, middle school, high school, and never again. But it stuck with me because it's a book about a group of kids.
Why never again?
It's just too much of it. I didn't get it. They should save it for in your mid-20s. It's about a group of kids that are sort of abandoned or, you know, castaways on a deserted island.
Sort of like this radio station here. Everybody just turns on one another. Everybody's at each other's throats. It's crazy.
How dare you? It's true. And mayhem breaks loose. And they try to form some little kid government, and they have a conch, and they blow into it, and then a fat kid gets killed, and it all goes really south really quickly. This stuff in Charlotte, and I have friends that live in Charlotte. Charlotte's one of the most beautiful places in the United States. It is really ugly what happened the other night. That anger I'm not going to defend, but the behavior is, I think, a product of a bunch of people who are rudderless, who just sort of follow the leader. And according to in the book, there were some quotes. Maybe there is a beast. Maybe it's only us. And we did everything adults would do. What went wrong? When the inmates run the asylum, or the kids are running the streets, or the rudderless people without their family structure are allowed to just do whatever their friends do, you get concrete through windows and you get people beat up instead of protests and conversation and hopefully some reform so we all get back together on the same page. It's got to change. Here's hour one. Hour two, we'll throw, I guess, verbal bricks at Colin Kaepernick. Maybe. I want you to call in. Scott Sherman. It's the Large Morning Show and the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Scott Goldberg. The lawyer for Keith Scott's family says the video his wife recorded as police shot.